Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, home of the world's greatest artist, TLC, Gladys Knight, India RE, Indigo Girls, and Hartsfield Atlanta Jackson Airport, the Falcons, and Clark Atlanta University. This is The Bright Side with Technisha, a daily show with real people with real experiences. And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is March the 23rd, 2017. We're almost into the weekend. Can you believe it? Happy Thursday. Happy Thursday, and welcome to another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. I'm your host, Technisha, and if you don't know me, I am a native of Atlanta, Georgia. Yes, I am a true Georgia peach, and I know it shocks a lot of people like, wow, you still here? Yes, I am. And this show is all about motivating you with real people who have real experiences from nursing, maybe even in the industry of movie, directors, producers, artists, gospel singers, you name it, I have them on the show, and that's what it's all about. This show is always mixed up, and usually it's scheduled for Tuesdays and Thursdays, but sometimes you never know. You feel like you want to just have a show on Wednesdays. That's what I love about doing internet radio, because it's not prompted, it's impromptu, it's spontaneous, it's just live, it's your own vibe, there's no rules, no regulations. But I hope everyone is having a good day so far, and if you did miss one of the calls, which I did, Obsessed with Success call, you can always go back and listen to it, look it up on Facebook, Affirmation Nation, so don't definitely forget that. Also, and know that we are on every single day, Monday through Sunday, 7:30 a.m., Monday through Friday, and 8:55 a.m. on Saturday and Sundays, and this is Eastern time. So, come on, it's free text messaging service that puts you out there into a positive vibe for personal development and growth, and you can't beat that at all. But I hope that you are ready. I hope that you are truly ready for some more motivation in your life, because we will be talking to a great person, because I have been seeing a lot of people talking about yoga on Facebook. I do. I read a lot of comments, so I think this will be perfect for you guys. The name of his book is called The Heart and Science of Yoga, and he's a very awesome man. His name is Leonard Perlmutter. He is one of the Western world's leading pioneers in the introduction of meditation into the culture firmament, having found the American Meditation Institute at Avril Park, New York, in 1996. AMI courses are now approved and accredited by the American Medical Association and American Nurses Association. Leonard also serves as the author and editor of Transformation, the Journal of Meditation as Mind Body Medicine. However, today he is here to talk about his seminal book, The Heart and Science of Yoga, the American Meditation Institute's Empowering Self-Care Program for a Happy, Healthy, Joyful Life, which is an encyclopedic guide to meditation and yoga science that lies behind it. This book has been praised by such popular medical luminaries as Dr. Dean Ornish, Mehmet Oz, and Larry Darcy. And if I said their names incorrectly, please do not punish me. And it's highly regarded as the most accessible source of knowledge about adapting the 8 steps of yoga science, including meditation, into a busy and stress-filled life, so you can reach a new level of peace, contentment, well-being, and achievement. Over the past 39 years, Leonard has served on the faculties of the New England Institute of Ayurvedic Medicine in Boston, Massachusetts, and the International Himalayan Yoga Teachers Association in Calgary, Canada. He has studied in Rishikesh, India, and is a direct disciple of Swami Rama of the Himalayas, the man who in laboratory conditions at the Menninger Institute demonstrated that blood pressure, heart rate, and the autonomic nervous system can be voluntarily controlled. These research demonstrations have been one of the major cornerstones of the mind-body movement. Nina has presented informative workshops on the benefits of meditation and yoga science at the MD Anderson Cancer Center, the Albany Medical College, the New York Times Forum on Yoga Science, the Commonwealth Club of California, the University of Wisconsin School of Nursing, the Washington University Medical School, the University of Colorado Medical School, and the West Point Association of Graduates. Woo! I tell you, this man got more. He got probably more than me. Well, I know he does. He got a lot of hats going on. I had to catch my breath. Hold on. Okay, I caught my breath now. That was a lot. Feel like calling in. Please, no, don't feel like it. Do so. Call in at 347-426-3751. This will be a great discussion. excuse me. I know you guys were eager to have this conversation going on. I have been reading your comments, and I think this perfect. So help me, this fell right into my palm of my hands, and I'm thankful the glory to God that we will be talking about this. So I think if you are willing to learn and listen, then we can do this. Leonard, I thank you so much for being here today on this show. It's awesome. I'm telling you, I've been reading so many people talking about yoga on Facebook, and it's like, wow, this was perfect because you talk about that in your book.
Well, thank you, Technisha. I'm very, very, very pleased and honored that you were interested to bring me on the show, and I appreciate your listeners being there, and I'm very
yes.
pleased. Thank you.
Yes, and if you're listening to the replay, please make sure that you are sharing this information because it's always important to share valuable information like this. This is the time because this is not only, I don't consider yoga as an exercise, as I was taught from another guest. It's more of a lifestyle. This is something that you have, that you incorporate into your life. It becomes a part of you. But before we get more into that, I just want to ask you this, Leonard, just going back into your life, your past and everything, how did your practice of yoga science even begin?
Well, you know, Technisha, I've always been a philosophical type of person, and I also, when I was a young person, I experienced a lot of physical pain, and I, being philosophically oriented, I was trying to discover a way to live without pain, not just physical pain, but emotional pain as well, and I started reading the scriptures of Christianity and Judaism. I started reading scriptures of other religions and traditions, Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam. And I began to realize that, at their core, they were all very similar, but I didn't really understand it until I started reading about yoga science. And in yoga science, I found the core of all the world's great spiritual traditions that became the basis of all these religions. And so it was interesting to me, and I started to practice it. And the more that I practiced it, the better I felt. And so at this point in my life, I'm just interested in sharing the good news that it is possible to transform stress, anxiety, burnout, worry, anger, into creativity and health. So that's what I tried to do. And I discovered that yoga is a science. It verifies the truth the more that you experiment with it in your life. So what I believe is that yoga really it's like a bridge, Technisha. It's like a bridge. And this bridge of yoga, it means union, and it joins our outer actions, meaning our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, with our own inner wisdom. And so through the practice of meditation, we learn skills, we learn tools, and we can talk about those in a moment. But once we have the tools to apply in real lifetime relationships, our job is simply to base our outer actions on our own inner wisdom. And the more that we do that, the more that our outer actions, our thoughts, our words, and our deeds reflect our own inner wisdom, we feel better. We experience more happiness. We experience more health. We experience more security in life. And isn't that what we're all looking for?
And we just don't know how to get to those answers, and that's why I'm glad
well,
you're here.
Well, that's right, but,
to maybe
but you know, if you wanted to start a business, people
mm-hmm.
would tell you, oh, well, you need a business plan. Maybe you better
right.
speak to a bank to see if you can get financing. Maybe you ought to do a survey
exactly.
to see if anybody wants your product or your service. And so we want to be happy. We want to be healthy.
Right.
And we want to be
mm-hmm.
secure. But do we have a
right.
a business plan for that? Nobody teaches us a business
no.
plan, a philosophy of life.
No.
But now through yoga science, this 5,000 to 6,000-year-old tradition, if we can just revisit it and apply it to modern life, we can find
right.
a methodology for being happy and being healthy and being secure in a time that is very challenging for all of us.
Right.
So Albert Einstein, the great physicist, said that a problem
mm-hmm.
cannot be solved on the level at which it appears. A problem can only be solved on a higher level. Well, yoga science provides that higher level. And the more that we use it, the more that we use that bridge of yoga, basing outer actions on
mm-hmm.
inner wisdom, the more that we can slow down enough to create a space in our lives between stimulus and response, we can direct our attention to our conscience. Our conscience, which is known as buddhi in yoga science, our conscience acts as a mirror that reflects perfect wisdom from the superconscious portion of the mind. Now, the superconscious portion of the mind might not be familiar to everybody. It lies beyond the conscious mind. It lies beyond the unconscious mind. And it's the same place where Stevie Wonder hears beautiful melodies, where Paul McCartney hears beautiful melodies, where Albert Einstein saw mathematical equations. Doesn't mean that we're going to become songwriters or mathematicians. What it does mean is that the more that we use conscience to determine our thoughts, words, and actions, we're happier, we're healthier, we're more secure, and lots of nurturing,
mm-hmm.
loving relationships begin to come into our lives. So I thought enough about that I wanted to share it. So I wrote this book, The Heart and Science of Yoga.
And
so
I'm
I
glad
appreciate
you did.
Inviting me.
Oh, you are so very, very welcome, and I'm glad that you laid it out all on the line for us where we can get a better understanding of this, because I never heard of yoga science, so I am glad to be learning this myself. I'm new as well, listeners, so I hope that you are not afraid to call in. And like I said, if you're listening to the replay, share it, because this is valuable information that needs to go out. I guess this brings me to the question of what kind of benefits have you experienced yourself in your own life from meditation?
Well, just in a very general way, Technisha, you know, I feel better physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually
mm-hmm.
now than I ever did in my life. But on a very practical
right.
level, on a very practical level, I have gained tools that help me with everyday life. When I sit and I meditate,
mm-hmm.
I gain new skills. I gain skills of one-pointed attention. You know, it's interesting. I sometimes chuckle and sometimes I cry when I think about how the culture asks all of us to multitask. If you multitask, you'll be successful and you'll be happy, the culture tells us. And yet, it is impossible for a human being to multitask. The mind can only do one thing at a time. It's just like the computer. Okay? But to provide us the delusion that we're multitasking, how do we accomplish that? Adrenaline.
Right, how do we?
Adrenaline has to surge through the body continuously so that the mind can go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth between two objects very quickly. And in that process, this abundance of adrenaline depresses the immune system, and it depresses the mind. Mm-hmm. So one-pointed attention, what I call monotasking as opposed to multitasking, doing only one thing at a time,
right,
provides you the pathway to the superconscious mind to find out what is the thought to think, the word to speak, and the action to take that will enable you to fulfill the purpose of your life without pain, without misery, without bondage. It's a wonderful deal. So one-pointed attention is one of the first tools. The second tool is detachment. We learn how to create a space between stimulus and response. Again, the culture encourages us to eliminate the space between stimulus and response. Things are happening so quickly these days. You know, when we were children, things took a little longer. But now, change is happening so rapidly, our heads are swimming.
Right. And
it's very unsettling. It's very unsettling. But we don't have to accept that all the time. We can learn to slow down and create detachment. We can create a space between stimulus and response. That provides us freedom to rely on our own inner wisdom. Say that again?
I am. I'm glad you mentioned that, Leonard, because I was just telling my husband. Actually, I was speaking to him just a moment ago. I said the way technology is going, is you have to keep up with the new age now. And I said, if that's what I have to do, then that's what I have to do. And I'm glad that you're saying that, like, no, you don't have to do it. You can actually
pick and choose.
Right.
There's some things that are helpful. But if you go for everything.
I don't need no smartphone. Right. My mama tell you that. I don't want no smartphone. As long as I can call you, call me, I'm all right. She's not trying to keep up all that stuff. Me, on the other hand, I'm like, I need to know this. I need to know that. I want to know this and that. So I'm glad you're saying it. Slow your roll. I want to ask you this, Leonard, because you mentioned multitasking. I'm a waitress, and I feel that, you said is it the adrenaline in me that helps me to be able to multitask everything? Like, I could take one person's order, and I could be listening to another person and getting them something else at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bet that as a waitress, you are really one-pointed in your attention rather than multi-pointed. I was a short order cook when I was a kid. When I was a young person, I was a short order cook, and all the great short order cooks that I met, and as a young person, they were not multitaskers. They were really focused. They knew when the toast was going to be ready. They knew when the eggs were going to be ready. They knew when the coffee was hot. And so it's that flexibility to give your attention and then to withdraw your attention and redirect your attention to something else in a one-pointed manner that makes a great chef and makes a great waitress or a waiter. So I'm betting that when you are in the restaurant and you're waiting on a table of people, I bet that your mind is focused like a laser.
It is.
That's what I'm betting.
It is.
You can use that skill, in every relationship without injuring your health. And that's what yoga science does for you.
Oh, I love you, Leonard. I do. I love you because I feel like you really have been guiding me here. Like, I really do appreciate this information. I am taking it all in. Now, you studied with Swami Rama, if I said Rama of the Himalayas.
Yes, correct.
What was that? What was that? What was that like?
I'll tell you what it was like. When I was a kid, I was in Boy Scouts. When I was younger, I was in Cub Scouts. I don't know if that's very popular
yes.
these days, but I loved the experience of being a scout. And the reason that I liked it so much was it was a great way to learn new things. And they were all practical things. You know, the scout motto is be prepared. Well, especially today, we need to be prepared. Okay? And so I enjoyed that experience of learning tools when I was a scout. And when I met Swami Rama of the Himalayas, I felt like he was my scout master because he was teaching me yoga science. But it wasn't like learning chemistry in high school. It was all practical stuff. It was about, gee, you know, you just ate a big meal. Are you going to brush your teeth? Well, what does your conscience say? Your conscience says, of course, Leonard, you should brush your teeth now. You know, you want to save your teeth for your whole life. And so those are the practical types of things. It's not, you know, intellectual stuff. It's about day-to-day, moment-by-moment living and making conscious, discriminating choices based on your own inner wisdom. That's why Shakespeare said, above all else, to thine own self be true. But in our culture, we're not taught to trust ourselves. We're taught that all the information is outside of us. There are these experts out there. There's this internet out there. If you want to know something,
mm-hmm.
you go outside of yourself to find it. And that's just not true. It's not that you can't learn something from outside, but how are you going to know that it's true? How many burners on the stove do you have to touch, and how many fingers do you have to burn to know whether the burner is on or the burner is off? But your own inner wisdom will tell you. And the more that we can cultivate that relationship with that inner wisdom, we're happier, we're healthier, we're more secure, and lots of loving, nurturing relationships come to us. We're more creative. We're more loving. We're more compassionate. And if we can change our mind and our consciousness, change the consciousness of the planet.
Wow. You know, Leonard, I think throughout the book, it was mentioned something about like our perceptions are skewed by our conceptions. What does that exactly mean?
Okay. Our conceptions, these are our habit patterns that
yes,
are stored in our unconscious mind. They skew our perception. What does that mean? It means that when I was a child, I went to school. This is an example now.
Mm-hmm.
I went to school, and when I was learning arithmetic, my teacher taught me that 1 plus 2 equals 3. I believed her.
Right.
And whenever I have a situation where I have to rely on that concept, that 1 plus 2 is 3, I'm very successful. But, you know, I have had other teachers in my life who have taught me that 1 plus 2 is 4. In other words, they gave me faulty information. And I was so vulnerable at a young age that I believed them. And I have that faulty concept stored in my unconscious mind. So in certain circumstances, I rely on those faulty concepts.
Mm-hmm.
And when I rely on faulty concepts to determine my thoughts, my words, and my actions, those faulty concepts motivate me to take actions that are actually in conflict with the truth, and I hurt myself. So what meditation helps us to do and yoga science helps us to do is to change the software of the mind, to be able to examine all of those faulty concepts that we have, things that we are worried about, things that we are angry about, things that we desire that are really not good for us. And if we slowly, slowly, slowly give up our attachment to them, we are free to see things clearer, to act more in harmony with our inner truth, and as a consequence, we feel better physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually.
Oh, yeah. I bet that much, yeah, with this, who doesn't? Because no one wants to walk around miserable. No, no one wants to have all that stress piled up on them. Trust and believe me, no one does.
That's right.
And that's everyday life because we work so much. America, we do. We work so many hours, and we barely be having a little time to us. So that does, that makes you feel so burnt out. You feel stressed. I have been there and done it. And it becomes a repetitive behavior in all of us as human beings. You know, I guess that's why I wanted to ask this, Leonard. Why do you think people are so fearful and angry these days? Can AMI meditation really help them?
Yes, I believe so, only because it has helped me. So where does anger come from? Anger comes from a desire. I want something. I expect something, and I can't get it. So I'm aware of anger, okay? And so it motivates us to examine our desires. What do we really want? And if the truth be known, what we all really want is to be happy, to be healthy, to be secure, but not just for 5 minutes. We want it to be unbounded, unrestricted. I want joy in every situation, whether somebody's praising me or blaming me. In victory and defeat, I want to experience a joy and an evenness of mind. Well, how are we going to get to point B from point A? How are we going to experience that? Uh-huh. And the answer lies in basing our outer actions on our inner wisdom. If we can serve the truth that is within us, that is us. Christians refer to it as the Christ. Mm-hmm. That was their way of interpreting it and talking about it and verbalizing it. But the more that we can serve our own inner wisdom in mind, action, and speech, there's no conflict. There's no conflict between outer action and inner wisdom. If there is conflict, that conflict will manifest first in the body through dis-ease and then disease. And then interpersonal relationships suffer. Yes, it is true. If we can reduce and eliminate the inner conflict and
mm-hmm.
increase the way we think, speak, and act in service to our own inner wisdom, things move poetically, lovingly, compassionately, and we benefit.
Right. Right. But that's something... Lena, is it hard? Is it really hard though for people to learn that concept? You know, you have stubborn people. That seems like that would be hard. But me, on the other hand, I agree with you. I do. I don't care what the situation is. I always like to see the happy outcome of everything. Yeah, because for instance, my coworker was very upset. I was still happy. I don't know why she was up. She was upset over a little matter that we had at work. It was about a guy came to draw our faces and stuff, and she got a little teed off, but I was still happy by the end of the day because I try not to let anyone's unhappiness bother me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not saying it's not a challenge. Sometimes when our emotional buttons mm-hmm. are pushed can be a challenge, but in challenging
right.
situations, when we do what has to be done, when it has to be done, it's extremely rewarding. But yoga science recognizes that it's a challenge. And so you know what yoga science says is? Start with what's easy. If it's easy, it'll be right. So we're not asked to take on really challenging, emotionally charged issues. We're asked to start with no-brainers. It's 10 o'clock at night. You're tired after a long day's work. You're watching a little television, and a coffee commercial comes on, and a thought comes into your awareness. Gee, I'd really like a cup of coffee. Well, are you going to have a cup of coffee, or are you not going to have a cup of coffee? What does your conscience say? What your conscience is going to tell you at 10 o'clock at night, hey, a cup of coffee is not real good for you at 10 o'clock at night. It's going to keep you up. You're not going to get a sound night's sleep. You have an early call in the morning. You have a business meeting, or you work early at the restaurant. So if you want to have a conversation 10 o'clock in the morning about a cup of coffee, I might give you a different answer, the conscience would say. But at 10 o'clock at night, you're asked to sacrifice the desire for it. And if you can do that, you increase your reserves of energy, willpower, and creativity that you can use any time of day or night. So you start with what's easy, and each time that you give up a desire that conflicts with your inner wisdom, it increases your energy, your willpower, and your creativity. It's like banking when we were kids. We didn't bank hundreds or thousands of dollars at a time. We banked when we were kids pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters. And we did that from the beginning of the school year in September until June when school was out. And by the end of the school year, we had some sufficient money in the bank. So if we can sacrifice the desire for a cup of coffee at 10 o'clock at night so that our outer actions reflect the inner wisdom of our conscience, we'll have plenty of energy, plenty of willpower, and plenty of creativity. And at a certain point in our lives, we'll have enough energy, willpower, and creativity to take on emotional issues that previously were just too challenging for us. And when we have enough energy, willpower, and creativity, those old emotional challenges will be relatively easy for us. So start out with what's easy. It'll be right. If it's right, it must be easy. Nobody's asking us to take on too much too soon. If I wanted to exercise to build up some muscles in my body, and I go to the gym, the last thing I want to do, as a person who has never done anything like that, the last thing I would do is to pick up 200 pounds and try to pick it up and lift that, because it would injure me. I have no experience with that. But if I went to the gym and I just started picking up the bar, I wouldn't injure myself, but I would be starting to build some muscles. And then I would put 2 pounds on the bar, and then I would put 5 pounds on the bar. The next week I would put 10 pounds on the bar, and within a few weeks or months I would be lifting substantial weight and gaining more muscle without injuring myself. So that's the key. Don't take on too much too soon. Don't hurt yourself. Love yourself.
Speaking the right words here. That makes perfect sense. Don't take on too much and love yourself, which we all should do first, because you can't go and love someone else if you don't even love your own self. You got to start with self first. But I want you to love yourself right now and just hold on, because when we come back, Lynn and I will be talking and discussing more about yoga science and some practices that he might find easy for you to quickly benefit from. So don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after this.
Thought it was over? Not yet. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio, baby.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom,
Everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle to America and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all stand up, then I shout, tip me over and
pull me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is you over 30 years ago.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
And this is your mom when you drive her back from therapy.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Roles change without us noticing, and in your new role, we help you help. AARP gives you the information to help care for your mom so that you can have patience with her, just like she did with you. Visit aarp.org/caregiving or call 1-877-333-5885 to get practical health and wellness tips to provide even better care for your loved one.
Are we there yet?
Remember, visit aarp.org/caregiving. AARP, we help you help. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. And in case you missed it, we have been talking, well, I have been talking with Lennar Perlmutter on the health and science of yoga, the benefits that it gives you just to know that you can actually be happy. You can eliminate all that stress, being burnt out, and the illness if you take this different form of life and implement it into your own life. But I want to come back with Leonard and ask about maybe describing a yoga science practice that's real easy for everyone that you can actually benefit from quickly.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for that kind of question. Remember, your practice has to be easy in order to be right. And simple, everyday experiences happen all throughout the day. So say you just finished dinner. Are you going to brush your teeth? Well, ask your conscience. Conscience, say, should you brush your teeth or should you not brush your teeth? The conscience is going to tell you to brush your teeth because we want to keep our teeth for our whole life. This is a marathon. This is not a sprint, this life. So we want to keep our teeth healthy. So that's an experiment. Perhaps the ego doesn't want to brush the teeth. Perhaps the habit of the person doesn't want to brush the teeth. But the conscience is asking me to brush my teeth. What am I going to do? Am I going to love myself, get up from the table, go to the bathroom, and invest 2 minutes of my time to brush my teeth so that my outer action is in harmony with my inner wisdom? If I do that, I'll increase my energy, my willpower, and my creativity, and I'll be better able to deal with every other relationship. That's an example of a relatively easy yoga science experiment. And we feel better. We feel better physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. We have a good feeling about ourselves, and we're learning to love ourselves. And it makes it easier to do the next experiment and the next experiment and the next experiment. If you're driving into work and you're a few minutes late and you catch a red light and a bubble from your unconscious mind comes forward and you're angry because you're waiting at a red light, well, what are you going to do with that anger? It's only a suggestion. If you give it more attention, you're going to be poisoning your entire body. So who does that anger hurt? Why, it hurts me. So sacrifice it. Let it go. Mm-hmm. and it'll transform into energy, willpower, and creativity. These are simple, everyday ideas and situations where yoga science can be used. And it's all explained in The Heart and Science of Yoga. It's very readable, it's very understandable, and it's very practical.
Right. Yes. I'm following along. I am. I'm really following along here. And I hope listeners, you are following along. Like I said, if you want to call in, do so. 347-426-3751 is the number.
Yes, I'd love to hear from any of you.
I know, me too, because this is a very good conversation. I believe in your book there was something mentioned about D equals E plus W plus T.
Yes.
Is the secret formula for happiness.
Mm-hmm.
What is meant by that?
D is desire. E
okay.
is energy. W is willpower. C is creativity. In every desire that we have, there is an element of energy, there is an element of willpower, and there is an element of creativity. If we have a desire that conflicts with our inner wisdom, I want the second jelly donut, says the child. Well, what does the conscience say? The conscience might say, gee, you just had a jelly donut. The second jelly donut, your conscience says, sacrifice the desire for it. It's only going to hurt the body. If I can listen to my conscience and sacrifice my desire for a second jelly donut, I'll increase my energy, my willpower, and my capacity for creativity. So desire is energy. Energy cannot be created nor destroyed, but it can be transformed. We know we can transform ice into water, and we know that we can transform water into gas. Well, we can transform a desire for a second jelly donut into strategic reserves of energy, willpower, and creativity that I can use any time of day or night. But if I don't have enough energy, and I don't have enough willpower, and I don't have enough creativity in the bank, then what am I going to experience? I'm going to experience stress and burnout. And that's going to make me unhealthy and unhappy and insecure.
Mm.
So we are the architects of our lives. We determine our destiny. And the building block for that destiny are our thoughts. Technisha, I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
I would like to ask you, and maybe we can ask the folks who are listening as well to do a little yoga science test right now. Technisha,
mm-hmm.
I want you and anybody who's listening, I want you to raise your right hand over your head, but before you do that,
okay.
I have to tell you that I want you to raise your right hand without entertaining a thought.
Okay.
Raise your right hand without entertaining a thought. And let me know if you can do that. It's impossible. The hand cannot move without first entertaining a thought. That's
right,
so powerful.
You don't think about it.
You got to think right. about it first.
Right.
If you don't think
right.
about it,
and you
the
think
hand
about it,
cannot
well, I
move.
You raise my right hand.
Right.
right.
So knowing which thoughts to think can determine your destiny. Because every action brings about a consequence. Some of those consequences are going to lead you for the happiness, the health, and the security that you want. But some of those consequences are going to lead to pain and disease. So we need to examine our thoughts. We need to examine them very carefully. and only serve those thoughts that have the good housekeeping seal of approval of our own inner wisdom, our conscience, and sacrifice those thoughts that are in conflict with our own inner wisdom. Every thought that comes into our awareness, every thought that comes into our awareness is only a suggestion of what to give our attention to.
Oh, wow.
It is not an imperial command.
Okay.
It's only a suggestion. But nobody taught us that.
Okay.
Nobody taught us how to discriminate between thoughts. And if the truth be known, we all have a lot of junk thoughts. You talk about junk food. What's worse than junk food is junk thoughts. We let any thought in unexamined, and it's polluting. It's polluting our entire mind and body.
It is. And it, as you mentioned earlier, it's coming from the internet. It's coming from watching
TV.
I'm listening to these people on the outside. All that is the junk. That is the junk food. And you're eating, but the junk food of the mind.
Your mind is
trash.
Eating it. Your mind is constantly grazing on junk thoughts. You don't think that that has a consequence? You bet it does. And it's and if you want to see what the consequence is, all you got to do is turn on the TV, and you'll see what it does to people. Go through the channels, and you'll see examples of how junk thoughts turn people into very unhappy people, doing all sorts of weird, strange things. Excuse me?
I was just thinking the same thing. You took the words out of my mind. Thinking that unhappiness, it brings unhappiness. He's going to sometimes might make you happy, but other than that, it's going to make you angry, mm-hmm. especially if you're watching the news. That's very upsetting. Who doesn't get depressed watching the news? You know, it's like, wow, another killing. Okay, I'm depressed now. Turn TV. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so I'm depressed now, and I'm angry because I'm watching the news, and so what do? I have 3 jelly donuts, you see, because I'm looking for some sweetness in my life. I'm not getting it from the news. I'm not getting it from the television, but I want sweetness in my life. And so I have 3 jelly donuts, and I poison myself. How rational is that?
Poison your body with all that sugar, exactly.
So I'll ask you a couple of questions. I'll ask you a couple of questions. If a blind man knocks you down, are you angry at him? No, you're not angry.
I wouldn't.
No, because the man is blind. And if the blind man doesn't, and if the blind man does not react to the shock on your face when you're lying down on the pavement after he knocked you down, and if he doesn't react to the shock on your face, would you think that that blind man is insensitive? Why, no, because he can't see. Well,
no, he can't see already.
I'm here to tell you that 98% of the people are blind. We are virtually all handicapped in certain kinds of situations.
Wow.
So if somebody is expressing a handicap, why would we be angry? Why would that be depressing? You see, if somebody acts in such an angry and a non-truthful way, it is their way of crying out. That person has never been loved. That person has never had compassion. And, you know, they're like children in a body that's 50 or 60 years old. They're just crying out for help. So we're being asked to, not to be a reactionary. If somebody offers us poison, like what you see on TV, if somebody offers us chocolate-covered poison, are we obligated to accept it?
We don't.
No, we do not accept it. And we don't have to be angry about it, and we don't have to be depressed about it if we have a relationship with our higher self, what Christians call the Christ, you see. We lack nothing. We are fullness and bliss in service to the truth in every situation. And if I can change my consciousness, if I can get rid of my fear and my anger and my selfish desires, that changes the consciousness of the planet. There's only one consciousness.
Right. That is real something to think about. Wait a minute, Lynn, you said it's only one conscience. Don't we still have our subconscious part of our mind, too?
But that's changeable, isn't it, Technisha? That unconscious mind is changeable.
Okay.
And so what we need to do is we need to change old habits that conflict with our inner wisdom and create new habits that are in service to our inner wisdom. We're habit makers. Human beings are habit makers. We make habits. We're good at it. It's relatively easy. But now, at this point in our lives, with all the experience and the common sense that we have gained through the College of Hard Knocks, all the kicks and blows that we have received in our lifetime, we now know a lot more than we ever did before about what's to be done and what's not to be done. If we can do that now and change my consciousness, it changes the consciousness of everything, because everybody has the same consciousness. We all have different unconscious, but if I'm changing and purifying my unconscious, that frees up consciousness. It frees up love. It frees up compassion to be in the world. And that's what we're being asked to do.
Wow.
We're asked to be a light to the world.
I'm telling you, this is a well-put eye-opener for all of us. And I believe that's what you'll discover in your book. You know, this book is not only just showing you the ways to anchor the meditation in your life, but it's teaching you the keys to, like, AMI's world-renowned meditation system, the right mantra for you. Because sometimes we could be speaking a mantra that might not even be meant for us. Every mantra is not meant for every human being, you know.
That's true.
In my opinion, it's not. But, you know, people might find that your book, it looks like an encyclopedia. It does. Do people have to actually read and practice the entire book just to benefit?
Well, as I said before, Technisha, start with what's easy, and it'll be right.
Okay.
It doesn't matter where you are. Start where you are.
Yes.
You see?
Yes, sir.
And just do one thing. You know, the longest journey starts with a single step, and things will start changing immediately for you, and you'll feel happier. You'll feel healthy. You'll feel secure. Just start with what's easy. Don't let the ego hijack you and say, oh, my, you have to read the whole encyclopedia and memorize it before you can benefit. That's not true.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned that, because we want to feel like, oh, I got to start with page one, then make it, you know, like most books, they are exactly chronological like that. You got to start with this page in order to move on. You can't skip over. It's like, oh, now I got to go back and reread and read. And we know 90% of human beings, we don't like to read all everything half the time. We like to skip over. We like to skim over the pages. Just this same way when we've been, I don't feel like reading all this. I just want to skim over the first part. And then when you get that test, you're like, oh, dang, I should have read all of it then. What are your thoughts, Leonard, on this on the popularity of the physical yoga postures today? You think they're helpful, like upward dog, all those positions? Because you now see it in most workouts. Everyone speak of yoga.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, as you know, Technisha, we have a very physical culture. And so it's not surprising that the practice of yoga exercises became popular before the meditation in our culture. But the relationship with the body, even in exercise, is really a relationship with the mind. Okay? Because the body is a reflection. It's a projection of the mind. The inflexibility of the body is really a reflection of the inflexibility of the mind. If I live my life only doing what I like and avoiding what I don't like, that's going to create a very inflexible mind. Because I already know that things that I like aren't always good for me. And I also know that things that are bad can be good for me. So if I live in my likes and dislikes, that becomes a very rigid prison mentally. And that rigid prison, consciousness of every cell in the body. And so the muscles become very restricted and contracted. So if I can become more flexible in serving things that, you know, doing things that I like, but also giving up certain things that I like because my conscience is asking, and if I can give up certain dislikes because my conscience is asking me to embrace it, if I can become mentally flexible in that regard, then all of a sudden my body is more physically flexible. And so we look upon the physical exercises as a form of meditation. It's a mental exercise, first and foremost. We use the body.
Right.
Just like we use a mantra in meditation, with exercise, we use the body as the object. And when we observe the body, and we say we do a forward bend, okay? When I do a forward bend in yoga, physically now, I'm having a conversation with my inner, I'm having a conversation with the body, and I'm asking the body, where would you like me to stop? Where is the threshold of pain? I don't want you to experience pain. So I ask the body, you tell me, body, dear body, you just tell me where the threshold of pain is, and that's where I'm going to stop. I'm not going to just buzz right through that threshold of pain and hurt you, because I'm here to serve you and love you. And my experience is, instead of embracing the cultural saying, no pain, no gain, in yoga science, when we do exercises, we are simply there to be of service, loving service. So when I do a forward bend, I ask the body, where would you like me to stop? Because it doesn't matter to me where we stop. Wherever you want me to stop, dear body, I will stop. And I will stop at the point where the pain begins, at that threshold of pain. And that's the point from which I will back off. And lo and behold, if I can do that every day, that threshold of pain will be farther and farther and farther as my bend goes deeper and deeper and deeper. So I'm more flexible physically, and I'm more flexible mentally.
Tell you, Leonard, this has been a wonderful discussion. I really appreciate it, because I think it has opened up my mind to brighter things. And I know I always say it on every show to add, you need this book on your bookshelf, but this is another one you need on your bookshelf. I love all authors and experts that come on my show, and I always recommend, get these books. Every last one of these books are valuable to making a better you. This is 2017. A lot of you made those resolutions. How many of you broke them? Probably many of you. But how? Before you leave, I just wanted to ask, because I know that we're about like on 10 seconds of time, but anyhow, because this will still be recorded, how can people learn more about your teaching, and where can people purchase your book?
Well, thank you for that opportunity. As I mentioned, I'm the founder of the American Meditation Institute, and so we can be found at americanmeditation.org. on the internet, AmericanMeditation.org. We have classes online. We have video classes. We have summer retreats. You can come visit us in upstate New York. And the book, The Heart and Science of Yoga, can be purchased at Barnes & Noble. It can be purchased through Amazon online, independent booksellers, and also at the American Meditation Institute website. This has truly been a joy. I've really enjoyed speaking with you, Dipnisha, and your openness.
I know I have.
And your energy. It's just been very contagious. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. That's me all day, and I get that question daily. Are you that way all day? And I say, yes, I am. I try not to let anything anger me or bother me. Why should I? Life is too short. I don't have time to be angry and be bothered by anyone's foolishness or negativity. But please, my listeners, make sure you get a copy of this, The Heart and Science of Yoga. I think that will definitely make your life truly better, honestly. But before I leave you, you know I love to give my quote from my friend Mary Ellen. True for the day is, when you approach the world with a positive attitude, and exactly what we've been talking about, an abundant supply of blessings is a natural result. By feeling competitive with your ability to deal with the world, you will attract new people and experiences into your life. Your positive energy will attract more blessings into your life than you can imagine. No matter what moods the people around you are experiencing, the universe, God, will reflect to you all the energy you are radiating. When you are a confident, good person, you are rewarded with goodness. Today, approach the world with a positive, R-E-A-L, real, enthusiastic about life attitude to ensure many good blessings as a natural result. Enjoy the day, everyone, and remember the mantra from Affirmation Nation is this: either your mind expands to match your goals, or your goals with strength to match your mind. I'll see you next time on The Bright Side with Technisha. God bless.
Thanks for listening to The Bright Side with Technisha. If you like what you heard, tell your dad, mother, cousin, uncle, whomever. Be sure to check out the archive section at www.brightsidewithtk.com.